Good morning and welcome to you all, to Bethel and visiting friends amongst us. And it's good to see our sister Judith with us today, Emma and Katie. Lovely to have you with us. And it's good to see you all here this morning on our Easter family service. Please don't rush off after the service. Please come downstairs for more fellowship and light refreshments. And again, please join us tonight at 6 o'clock here at Bethel for our joint Churches of Gosainen Easter Sunday service. And our guest speaker this evening is the Reverend Andrew Bowden of Caerphilly. And again, that will be followed by refreshments. And Tuesday night at 7:30, we have a visit from our guest speaker for the night, David George, who represents Murph. He's come to tell us about the gospel message being preached to the Muslim communities, and all are welcome to that meeting. All the other meetings throughout the week are having a break due to the Easter holidays. And next Sunday, at the usual times, the services will be at 10:30 and 6, and God willing, that will be led by Colin Griffiths. And then Monday, the 29th of April at 7:30, will it be a Daylight Prison Ministries or Prisons Trust prayer meeting, and that will be led by David Lewis. And then I've got a card here, which I'm going to read out. Thank you. God has supplied my every need in Christ Jesus. Amen. Doreen. To all at Bethel, just to say thank you for the prayers, cards, flowers and phone calls at this time while recovering from an operation. So thankful to each and everyone. Blessings in the Lord. Doreen Phillips. That's all the notices. I'll hand the service over to John. Thank you.
Now then, Cara, you've got a reading for us from Matthew chapter 28. And you stand by the mic there, boys and girls. You can turn round and sit back down this way now. And turn round and sit round. Yeah, sit down the seats.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he has said. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly to tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead, and now he is going ahead of you into Galilee, where you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, collapsed at his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me."
Thank you, Cara. Now turning our attention to Matthew chapter 28, the passage that Cara read for us, verses 1 to 10. We begin this morning by saying and asking the question, is death the last and final stop at the end of the journey of our bus riding life? Is it the terminus? Is it the end? Well, one theologian, a man called James Denny, said this: "The New Testament preaches a Christ who was dead and is alive, not a Christ who was alive and is dead." Usually we speak of someone, they were alive and then they died. Well, certainly Jesus was alive. The first song we sang this morning, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore." Now the account in Matthew this morning tells us about an empty tomb and a risen Saviour. And four quick, simple points this morning we're going to look at. First of all, let's look at the information in verses 1 to 4. This is quite important, the information. You see, some people think this last chapter at the end of Matthew must be a made-up fairy story. It's added on to what seems to be quite a good account of the life of Jesus. It's almost like you come to chapter 28 here and you're saying, once upon a time, in the misty past, some place, somewhere, something strange happened. But the gospel has dealt with historical facts, and Matthew's gospel particularly. Let's just hammer a couple of pegs into the ground. When we started talking about reading the gospel according to Matthew, we read in chapter 2 and verse 1 that in the days of King Herod, that was when Jesus was born. And the wise men travelled to see him. So we've got an historical setting, an historical peg hit into the ground in the days of King Herod. And then we read about Jesus when he was a certain age of 30 coming to the river. The river is mentioned, the River Jordan. So again, an historical place, you could hammer the peg into the ground. And then we read of Jesus calling some disciples to follow him. And they worked and walked with him around the Sea of Galilee. There again, an historical place, so you can tap that peg in. And also then we're told of events that took place in a place called Capernaum. And here we're ending up now with Easter week in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city where the temple was. And so there are historical events, historical characters that we read. And then we come to this last chapter and people say, yes, but the last chapter then is different. The last chapter is a made-up story. Well, when we read this last chapter, if we read it like a fairy tale ending a good biography, well, let's see, it's grounded here, even in this information this morning. It's grounded in places and times. We're given information, first of all, about the day that this happened. Well, what day did it happen? We read in verse 1 there, after the Sabbath. After the Sabbath, the first day of the week. That's a Sunday, and that's why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on a Sunday. You see, Jews didn't have names like Monday and Wednesday and Friday. Days were referred to something like this. The first day after the Sabbath. The third day after the Sabbath. The fifth day after the Sabbath. The day before the Sabbath. So here we have the first day of the week. We're also given information about the time. The time of the day that it happened. What do we read? That first verse? At dawn, as the day began and as the day became light. We're given names as well of two women who were there coming to the tomb. Verses 61 of chapter 27, the previous chapter, tells us of Mary Magdalene and also another Mary. They'd seen where Jesus' body had been laid and they came that morning there to anoint the dead body of Jesus. And we read also then that there appeared to them an angel who removed the stone that had been sealed and rolled it back flat. And the other Gospels accounts as well, that's Luke and Mark and John, also tell us that these women had come to anoint the dead body of Jesus. So let's not think then that these soldiers as well who were around the tomb keeping an eye on it, these soldiers are not weak-minded men. They were battle-hardened soldiers. But something scared them that particular morning. Not only that there was an earthquake, as an earthquake had happened when Jesus died upon the cross, an earthquake that Easter morning, but also as well, seeing an angel, it caused them to quake with fear. Did they run perhaps then to report to the chief priests? Well, verse 11 tells us that's exactly what they did. So let's pause for a moment and think of the soldiers afraid. Strong soldiers afraid. Something certainly happened there that morning. And it reminds us as well that if the soldiers were afraid of an angel, imagine what he must be to meet the God of angels, the God who is pure and holy and clean. But the Lord Jesus had come into the world to enable us to meet him and to be right with him and to be in fellowship with him. So that's the information. The first verses are written in a matter-of-fact way. You've got a place, you've got a time, and you've got personal details recorded. Now, the second thing I want to say, look at the invitation in verses 5 to 6. Note carefully, this is what the angel says to the women. Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. The earthquake and the rolling away of the stone took place before these women arrived. And we read that when they arrived, saw the stone rolled away, they were afraid. They were afraid that someone had stolen the body of Jesus. And the angels bring them words, do not be afraid. And if anything, on an Easter morning, we need to hear those words. Do not be afraid. The way the verse is translated, it can mean this, stop being afraid. So they were already afraid, and the angels were saying, you can stop being afraid from now on. Because of what's happened here this morning. Now, it was an event that was frightening them, but once it was explained, it caused them no longer to fear. The reason for their visit, as we've said, was to look for the body of Jesus and to anoint his body. Now, there's another tomb, an interesting tomb in Moscow. If you've ever been to Red Square, there lies in a casket and in a mausoleum there the body of the Russian revolutionary leader Vladimir Lenin. He died in January 1924, so in 5 years' time it'll be 100 years since he died, and yet you can still go to Red Square and see this mummified body there. There are those in Russia perhaps who say it's about time, and it is time for him to be buried properly. But the invitation of the angels here now wasn't to invite these women to come in and look at a glass case and to see the mummified remains of the Lord Jesus. But the invited say, come and see where he has been lying, where he was lying. Come and see the place where he lay. And the Lord gives this invitation to all of us this morning. We need to come and see what has happened here. And then the angels say, he's not here. He is risen, just as he said. And the angels are reminding these disciples here, these women, and he'll remind the other disciples, the men, later on, that what is happening is this: Jesus is keeping his word. We have time to look at the three references this morning. But in Matthew's gospel, three times before it happened, Jesus said he would be arrested, he would die, and the third day he would rise again. Chapter 16, verse 21, chapter 17, verse 22, chapter 20, verse 18. Three clear times when Jesus said, this is going to happen to me. But he always ended, on the third day be raised to life. On the third day be raised to life. The third day he will be raised to life. So that's the invitation to come and see. Now look, thirdly, this morning at the instructions. Look at those in verse 7 and 8 here. Very clearly spoken again. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. And then the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Next point we observe now then is the instructions. What did the angels tell the women to say to the disciples? To tell the disciples that he was going to meet them. And it was a matter of urgency. Go quickly and tell them. And this urgency continues today, the spreading of the message of the Lord Jesus and his mighty resurrection. We serve a living Saviour. Again, we notice the angel reminds the women to tell the disciples something that Jesus had previously already said. Chapter 26, verse 34, he said, yes, Peter would deny him. But in verse 32 of that 26th chapter, Jesus said, after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. And all the angels were doing were reminding these women of what Jesus had already said. And that's what a gospel preacher does this morning. Just reminds us all of what Jesus has done and what Jesus has said. And this statement doesn't preclude the appearance of the disciples later on that evening. Don't think that this happened and straight away they went to Galilee. There were appearances in and around Jerusalem in a closed room to the disciples. But this certainly took place before Jesus ascended back into heaven. So the angels have given the message. I have told you, he says. I've told you. I've completed the message. Nothing more to tell you. The task was completed. And we can say then that if you see, if this is this, they say, if it's not a genuine record, well, it is a genuine record, because if you were making this story up, you wouldn't have given the message to women. And I'll tell you why. It's a sad thing about how it was like in that generation, but a woman's testimony wouldn't be believed in court. So if you were making this story up, you'd have had Jesus appearing to Peter. You'd have had Jesus appearing to the Sanhedrin, or perhaps to Pilate. Somebody famous, somebody significant, and that they had said it. No, but the story is how it happened to two women. And those two women's testimony wouldn't be received. And you know, when they came to the disciples, you read of it, even the disciples said, it sounds to them like nonsense. Even the disciples said, can't believe these women. And that's why John and Peter had to run to the tomb to see it for themselves. Typical sort of men thing, isn't it? I'll see it for myself. Well, there we are. There's the illustration. It clearly proves that this is an historical account. And not only that, but Christianity stands or falls on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus. The fundamental idea in Jewish thinking was that resurrection was all about a body being raised. Never a thought of a what's called a spiritual resurrection, or that someone lives on forever in the memories of others, or in the words that they spoke, or the words that they wrote. Do we see here then the account of the empty tomb? How do we account for the change in the disciples? Frightened in Gethsemane, running away, Peter denying him, and yet within 7 weeks, they're in the city centre of Jerusalem, preaching about a risen Lord Jesus. And don't forget, it wasn't now that they went off somewhere else to another country and started telling people. No, they came back to Jerusalem, the very place where the crucifixion had happened but a few weeks before. So the information, the invitation, the instruction, finally now this morning, look at the implication, verses 9 and 10. Let's look at the words. Suddenly Jesus met them. This is what happened as they were going on their way. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And he came to them, and they clasped his feet and worshipped him. And then Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The empty tomb doesn't prove the resurrection, but you have to try to account for how the tomb was empty. You have to consider it very carefully. The account does not finish here. We read that the woman set off to tell the disciples, and then Jesus met them. And that's really the Christian gospel, that on the journey in life, when we're on about our duties and responsibilities, the Lord Jesus meets us. It might have been perhaps when we were young, it might have been when we were middle-aged, it might have been when we were elderly. I tell the story, the oldest man I ever baptized, Frank Cross, baptized in the pool here, 83 years of age, attended his funeral recently in St. Catherine's. Now, what's happening here with these two women? This isn't an hallucination. The two women are not having the same hallucination here. Indeed, there's accounts later on of not only individuals, well, you say, well, they might have had an hallucination, but groups of people, disciples, these two women, 500 at once, seeing the Lord Jesus. And having heard these greetings, these women clasped him round the feet. Now, how significant those words are. They clasped him round the feet. Well, how is that significant, you might ask? Well, you see, there are those who think, well, if Jesus did rise in some sort of way, it was like a sort of a ghosty sort of thing, ephemeral sort of thing, floating in the air. These women grabbed him by the feet. So that means his feet were grounded on the earth. That gives some idea of the bodily parts, the bodily sense in which Jesus was there, present amongst them. And Jesus confirms the message brought to the angels, but I want you to end noticing this wonderful difference. The angel said, "Go and tell my disciples." When Jesus says to the message, "Don't be afraid, go and tell my brothers. Go and tell those who are near and dear to me." And this is a wonderful thought as we finish this morning. You see, in one sense, we might be disciples. We might once have committed our lives to the Lord Jesus, but we've wandered away and we've done our own things. Heavy responsibilities and duties come upon all of us. We understand. And in one sense, we've lost that connection. But you know the risen Lord Jesus. He still counts you as a brother, still counts you as a sister. And he's bringing the message this Easter morning to you. Yes, you may have failed. Peter failed. The other disciples failed. Don't forget, it was only John of all the disciples that was there at the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus. All the rest had denied and run away. All the rest had gone to the places they shouldn't have gone. But the Lord Jesus, when he's talking to them now, you think he's coming now then as the mighty king, he's going to give them all a telling off. No, the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angel says, tell the disciples. Jesus says, tell my brothers. Because that's how Jesus looked upon us all. You go back to Matthew 12, some people, the mother and some of the disciples' brothers, Jesus' brothers, were outside a house and somebody passed a message to Jesus. Jesus' mother and her family want to meet you, Jesus. They want to have a word with you, a family meeting. And Jesus said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Pointing to the disciples, he said, "Here is my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And the death of Jesus then took place at Easter, on that Good Friday morning. He died in the place of sinners upon the cross, so that all our guilt could be removed, the wrath of God taken away from us, and then we're able to look to him and believe in him with all our hearts. And our failures and our disappointing actions our words and our thoughts can all be forgiven. And you know, that's a great relief this morning. And how do we know it's all forgiven? Because Jesus rose from the dead. How do we know that it counts? Well, because Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And when Jesus said it is finished, this resurrection that we're celebrating this morning, it's God's amen to Christ's it is finished. It's God the Father saying, I accept the sacrifice. I accept what Jesus has done on behalf of all who will believe in him. And that's why if you're a Christian this morning, well, we're full of joy and gladness, full of happiness. I remember old Mr. Gwitha Sr. meeting me as a young boy up the door, coming up, having stayed up late, you see, coming up the steps on Easter morning, looking a bit glum, still a bit tired. And Mr. Gwitha's father telling me, boy, he said in his Pembrokeshire accent, boy, if you can't rejoice this morning, you'll never rejoice. And he was right. And more, the more we understand the story, the more we understand the love of God, we appreciate it. So a Christian then doesn't need to fear. Doesn't need to fear death. Doesn't need to fear judgment. Because Jesus lives, we can stop being afraid.